Morning.
Good morning.
So, I'm going to give two talks this Sunday and next Sunday on the five aggregates. So that's what I'm talking about today. So we start off with fundamental Buddhist teaching that the self is a source of suffering. It's a source of suffering. We all know that. I don't have my name tag on, but I get my name tag out of my pocket. Tim is a source of suffering. Stacy is a source of suffering. Bouchot is a source of suffering. And why? Because we're afraid that there's nothing really supporting us. Where did God go? Where did Buddha go? Where did Jesus go? We do lots of religious stuff, but where are they? And you know, the fundamental teaching in Buddhism is that it's all groundless. It's all groundless. So what about little Tim? What about little Stacy if it's all groundless? There's nothing to depend on. And that's the kind of the fundamental question that Buddha was talking about. And that Bob Dylan was talking about when he let's see, I gotta get this quote. When he remember this? For those of you who are old like me, you raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? And somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, where what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We struggle to get our lives together, to get some forward momentum in our lives with whatever we're doing in terms of relationships and, you know, vocation or whatever, but we don't know what it is. So it's groundless. So this Tim, this apparently substantial continuous guy is a fake attribution superimposed on the aggregates, according to Buddhism. We're pretending Buddhism knows what it's talking about right now. According to Buddhism, the five aggregates. This guy is a figment of imagination. Well, whose imagination? God's, Buddha's, nothingnesses, groundlessnesses. Who knows? And how does it come to seem so real? How does it come to seem so real? Well, the Buddhist teaching is the doctrine of the five. The doctrine of the five. The doctrine of the five aggregates. And the five aggregates are form or contact, sensory contact, auditory contact, visual contact, tactile contact, taste contact, felt sense. Every time we make contact with something, there's a felt sense. We have a felt sense, which could be a big feeling or just barely there. And that's the second aggregate. And the third aggregate is perception. Every time we make contact with something, there's a perception. And the fourth one is that every time is samskara, and that means together maker or fabrication. So every time we make contact with something, there's a felt sense, there's a perception, and then we make something out of it. There's a fabrication. And then the fifth one is consciousness. Every time we make contact with something, there's a felt sense, there's a perception, there's a fabrication, and then there's consciousness. Consciousness is vijnana in Sanskrit, vijnana, to divide knowing. So we divide up from all this experience and start talking about it, start planning, start remembering. So there are those five, but those five together are not a self. In the Pali scriptures, it says there's no trace of self in any of them, or in all of them put together. And yet we got faked out. We faked out. They get faked out and think that they're Tim or Stacy or Usho. Okay? So it's like Tim is the forest, but forest is just a word for five wonderful species of trees. And we're always trying to protect the forest, make it denser or bigger or bring more light into it, but not taking care of the trees, not noticing that the trees, the five species of trees, are really what's there. What's there? So by bringing the aggregates into view, there can be a letting go of being stuck or caught up in so-called Tim, so-called Deb, so-called James, so-called Pat. Just a seeing and letting go. Pretty simple. So I was not sitting during meditation this morning, but I heard the bell ring to end meditation. So the bell rings to end meditation. So that's, you have auditory contact, so that's the first aggregate. The bell rings. You make contact. The second one is probably a positive feeling tone when the bell rings. Maybe not, but probably positive. Maybe we can go get into why it might be positive, but probably a positive feeling tone. And then after that, probably, or not really after, because these things don't actually happen causally. There's the contact, and then they all happen. There's a perception. Bell. Come on in. I think you can come in. I guess you have to stay out. Oh, yeah, okay. They put a stop sign here on the street about, 5 years ago? That stop sign has been driving me crazy in my meditation. You know why? The cars just used to come by, shh, shh, so I could be like, but now they all stop at the stop sign. And so here we are sitting in the morning or the evening, and the punctuation of the car stopping and going disturbs our meditation. Mine, at least. Maybe you guys are more advanced. So the motorcycle goes by. Contact, right? Negative felt sense. Perception, maybe just motorcycle, that's all. Or noisy cycle. So what perception does is it turns an indefinite experience into an identified and recognized experience by labeling. We label it. And with feeling sense, an emotional element in terms of pleasure, displeasure, or indifference. So the conceptual element is labeling, and the feeling element is the felt sense. And then the fourth one, the fabrication, the mental formation, that's samskara. If I'm sitting and the bell rings, and I've been sitting for a long time, or probably a long time, and I make contact with the sound, I have the pleasant felt sense, I do the label bell, then I say to myself, I do my mental fabrication, glad Zazen is ending. Or, darn, I was just getting focused. So that's called the trigger for consciousness. So that triggers the fifth one, the fourth one, the together maker, together psalm again, Skara mix. You make something out of your first three, out of your perception, out of your feeling, out of your contact. You make something out of it, and then it triggers consciousness, the fifth one. So then the fifth one, glad zazen is ending. What a relief. Now I can stretch. Boy, I wish it were sunny. I would have stayed home if it were sunny. Oh, we aren't going to have any more warmth. Oh, yes. I wonder how my cat is. We gave her away. Why did we give that cat away? That was not my idea. That was my wife's idea. That was really mean. I want to get another cat. That's consciousness. This is consciousness, the fifth one. You get the feeling here? What we're talking about? So there are these five divided components of experience. And consciousness, the divided knowing, it's vijnana, jnana, to know, J-N-A-N-A, v, divided. So it divides, it divides up, it discriminates. It takes the trigger, it takes the immediate experience of the first three and the triggering of the fourth, and it divides it up by telling stories about it, by analyzing it. It's what we say to ourselves about our experience. It's the richness of memory. It's not negative. A lot of people think it's negative. Dogen's pretty good about showing that it's not negative. It's the richness of our memory. It's our aspirations. It's our planning. It's our need to be discriminating. But the problem is that we get plagued and imprisoned. Plagued by it and imprisoned within it too often. Too often. We're just imprisoned in our different fantasy worlds and jumping between them. Jumping from spiritual fantasy world to sexual to money to love to hate to whatever. So right now, the skandhas are working. Skandha means aggregate, by the way. Right now, the aggregates are working. So you're listening to me. You're listening to me. So there's contact between my voice and your ears, and possibly your eyes if you're looking at me. And you're having some feeling right now. You are. Yeah. A little bit of pleasure. A little bit of displeasure. Something neutral. And your aggregate of perception is identifying the words that I'm speaking. And your mental fabrication, your samskara, is what you're making out of this. Oh, interesting talk. Boring talk. Ho-hum. Oh, confusing. That's what you're making something out of it. And at the same time, based on what you make out of it, consciousness, you're triggering your consciousness to go in one direction or another. So if you're saying interesting talk, this is interesting. I wonder if I can remember this and apply it. He says these things, but how do you apply them? And then, gee, I wish I could do that. Oh, I'm going to give up on that. Oh, I'll come back and on and on. What a boring talk. I wonder where I'll go biking this afternoon. Oh, I can't really go biking. It's too cold. I wonder what I can do to work out. Oh, I don't think I want to work out in this weather. I wonder what's on TV. Oh, there's no football this afternoon. I don't know. And my cat got given away, so maybe I better just pay attention to this talk. You know, that's consciousness. That's consciousness. So this, by bringing the aggregates into view, which is really what Buddhist meditation is about, we're talking about experiencing the world which is not constructed around the idea of a self. It means from releasing our fixation on the forest, on the size of the forest, on the density of the forest, on the quality of the forest, and just being there with the trees. Just being there with the trees. The five, in this case, the five species of trees. And their interrelationship. And enjoying them. Not trying to control them. Because that's what little Big Tim wants to do, try to control them, right? That's where he came into existence. Keep the forest thinned appropriately. Extend its contours, etc., etc. So Tim forgets. Stacy forgets. Boucher forgets. I better not say of you guys because I can't talk about your experience. Tim forgets. He is a series of processes. He thinks he owns his sensations. He thinks he owns his thoughts. They're my emotions. This is my anger. How dare I be angry at myself? being angry at myself. I've got to control that anger. Right? So Buddha says in the Dhammapada, "Oh house builder, you have now been caught." Finally, Tim has been caught. Finally, Monica has been caught. "You shall not build a house again." Oh, if only. If only. "You shall not build a house again. Your rafters have been broken. Your ridgepole demolished." This is bringing the skandhas into view. Bringing them into view. And we can see this. But the we who sees this is not a Tim who comments on it. It's not a Tim who comments on it. So meditation is about opening up to the stream of energy, of psychic energy that flows through us, or flows through this container, because there's really no us. This contact, this felt sense, this labeling, this mental fabrication, all this consciousness, all this dreaming, all this comparing, all this thinking. Just opening up to it, rather than hiding behind within divided consciousness, within vijnana, divided knowing, a wall of stories, and live exclusively within them, especially within stories that we think are the good stories, or the real stories. And not that stories are bad. Stories are wonderful. We're not trying to dis vijnana. Just vijnana doesn't get to take over the whole thing. So there's no contact. So there's no immediately felt sense. So there's no just joy of being here. So most of meditation is really about bringing the first three aggregates into view. If you think about it, if you look at all the different forms of Buddhist meditation, they're all about bringing the first three into view. That is our contact, our feeling, and our perception. Bringing them into view, because usually we're overwhelmed by the last two. We're overwhelmed by our samskara, by our fabrication, and by our consciousness. By our making something out of our experience and then our taking off with our monkey mind. So all meditation really is about the first three in some way or another, coming back to them. Opening us up to the stream of contact, felt sense, labeling, fabrication, consciousness. Yogi Berra said, "You can see a lot just by looking." That's Zazen. And Zazen is no more complicated than that. We usually don't pay attention to how the together maker, the fourth one, triggers all this stuff. But we can begin to pay attention to it in our meditation as we slow down and see how it triggers all these worries, all these concerns, all this planning, all this reviewing, all this beating ourselves up. Here's Gunaratana, the teacher Gunaratana. "Somewhere in this process, you will come face to face with the sudden and shocking realization that you are completely crazy." You don't have to be diagnosed. You know, from the Buddhist point of view, we're all diagnosed. He's on to us. He's on to us. Your mind is a shrieking, gibbering madhouse on wheels, barreling pell-mell down the hill, utterly out of control and hopeless. No problem. You are not crazier than you were yesterday. It has always been this way, and you have never noticed. You have never noticed. That's why people get so discouraged in meditation, because they begin to notice. They begin to notice. And they want to quit, because the more they notice, the more they realize how crazy they are. And you've always been like this, and you always will be. It's the nature of the mind to wander. It's the nature of divided consciousness to want to take over the whole thing and manage it and work it through and get tripped out and freaked out by it. So now I want to do an exercise. I shouldn't say exercise. Now I want to meditate with you. How about that? I want to meditate with you, bringing the first and second aggregates into view. And then next time when I talk, I want to meditate with you, bringing the first and third aggregates into view. Because remember, we're focusing mainly on trying to bring the first three into view, because the fourth and fifth are so already into view that they've taken over the whole town, the whole country, the whole world. So much that we don't even realize. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to focus on your bodily sensations and notice your feeling tones, and I'm going to do a guided meditation. So why don't you take a relaxed posture, and this will probably be 5 or 10 minutes. Take a relaxed posture, sit up straight, and begin with breathing, noticing the breath at your nostrils. Notice where it comes in and goes out at your nostrils, making contact with your breathing. Contact. And as you do that, it's good to shut your eyes at least halfway, half or two-thirds of the way, so you can really pay attention, really, really make contact. Notice what the felt sense or feeling tone is as you make that contact with your nostrils, your breathing. Is it pleasurable? Is it neutral? Is it not pleasurable? Let your focus just be there, just paying attention to each breath as it comes in and goes out, shallow or deep, just being there at your nostrils, noticing the felt sense. Does the felt sense change as you continue to pay attention? When there's displeasure, do you want to move your attention away from the breath at the nostrils? Or someplace else? When there's pleasure, do you want to stay with it? Can you stay with it? Does it stay with you? I'll be quiet for a minute or two and just do this yourself. Just do this yourself. And when you're ready, move your attention to making contact with another part of your body, any part of your body, just making contact with another part of your body, or your breath in another part of your body, just making contact with it. And as you make contact with this other part of your body, in conjunction with your breathing or separate from your breathing, notice what the felt sense or feeling tone is. Positive, neutral, negative. Let your mind just rest there and pay attention. Does the felt sense change as you continue to pay attention? Is it displeasure? And do you want to move away from it? Is it pleasure? And do you want to stay with it? Or is it something in between? Just be with it. Just be with it. Just for another minute or so. Now, when you're ready, move your attention to sounds. Listen. Just listen. Just be one big ear and listen. Listen to the sounds. As you make contact with the sounds, as you listen to the sounds in the room, outside the building, in the sky, on the street, as you listen to the sounds, notice what the felt sense is. With each of those sounds you hear, what's the felt sense? Pleasurable, neutral, not pleasurable? Just pay attention. Just pay attention to the sounds. Does the felt sense change? Does the sounds change? Stay the same? Are there some sounds you want to go toward and others you want to push away? Just do that for 1 minute. Move your attention a little broadly to the body, the whole body, and the feelings of me or mine around the body, within the body. What body parts are most important? What body parts define you as yourself? Which one of them is more you? If you lost an arm or a leg or a head, would you still be you? Notice, pay attention. And let's take a final minute to just be with our body. And notice how our feeling tone has changed since we began this meditation. Just scan your entire body. Listening to the sounds, noticing the different contact points, and see the array of feeling tones and how they the same or have changed since we began. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back to the room. rejoin. Rejoin the group. So, this is an exercise in learning to bring the first and the second aggregate into view before spinning out. But we say this is an exercise, but this is really Zazen. This is what we're supposed to be doing in Zazen, in case any of you didn't know what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm talking about our daily meditation, whether we sit for 20 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or 2 hours a day. We're bringing through our contact, we're coming back to our immediate contact through breathing, through listening to the shakuhachi, through the bell, through playing the shakuhachi, through ringing the bell, and then we're noticing our felt sense. Or we're noticing the labeling. Which I'll do an exercise with you guys on next time. On and off the cushion. But if we don't do this on the cushion, the possibility of doing this off the cushion is next to zero. Because of what? Vijnana. Because of Tim and divided consciousness, who is so out of control, so needy, so lonely, so, you know this. Bob Dylan was doing was talking about all of us, you know. We always think he's so wise. He just got a guitar and started talking about what was going on inside him. He knew it was going inside of us, so he had the audacity to think that when he said, if my thought dreams would be seen, they'd put my mind in a guillotine, that we would all resonate with that, which is actually true. We did. And we do. So, this process of zooming in, I've forgotten to zoom in to just my contact, to just my feeling, to just what is. I need to come back gently to my immediate sense experience, to my felt sense, and also the perception. And begin to notice how each operates. And when we notice that, what happens? Things lighten up. If there's real noticing, if we do what Yogi Berra said and not anything more, the problem is that we want to do something more. We think Yogi Berra was stupid. Yogi Berra was smart. We're stupid because we think it's something more than that. It's just seeing. That's all it is. So the thinking gets lighter. Feelings get lighter. And there's no longer this need to identify with this aggregate of experience and hold it together, form it to be someone, make it behave. It's never going to behave. I've been trying to behave ever since my mother told me at 2 years old. I'm not any better at behaving now at 71 than I was when I was two. I may look like it, but if you really knew me, you'd know I'm not. If you really live with me, you know I'm not. You live with yourself. So you know. You can't get this gandhas to behave. You can't get the aggregates to behave. You can't get Vijnana. You can't get divided knowing to behave. It's divided. That's the wonders of being a human being, is we divide off. We comment on. We imagine. We dream. Wow. But somehow it turns into a prison for us. We get imprisoned by it. That's why we have to come back to the first three aggregates. To contact, to felt sense, and to perception. And of course, divided consciousness focuses on hope and fear. Hope and fear go together. Hope and fear. Because Tim is trying to hold it together. He hopes that if he, does what? Works on his memory. I'm concerned my memory is going. I'm really concerned about that. Oh, maybe I can do memory work. Well, good luck. Good luck, you know. I'm 71. My dad started going about this age, so gotte. But, you know, we want to hold it together. I don't want to let my assistant guiding teacher down by forgetting what we've talked about. If I do that, I think, oh, bad, Tim, bad.
This is a mutual thing, Tim.
Oh, interdependence. So divided thinking fixates on hope and fear. But once when you understand this is all an impersonal process and develop the ability to bring them into view, we can let go of this clinging to our hope and pushing away our fear. And we let go of little Tim. We let go of little Stacy, of little Bouchot. We let go of them. We're no longer then overcome by whatever. We're no longer overcome by it. As it says in the Upanishads, one to me are loss and gain, one to me are praise and blame. This actually happens. This may seem idealistic to you, but it's not idealistic. We're the ones who are idealistic. If you bring this aggregates into view, this happens. This happens. So the whole process of contact, felt sense, perception, fabrication, and consciousness is really just flowing like a wonderful stream. Just let it flow. You can't stop it from flowing anyway, so Tim thinks he can, but just let it flow. Just let it be. Just be with it. Just see it. And that's where your wisdom comes from. You can be kind of wise then, because you're not caught by the fabrication. You just see the fabrication as it comes up. So I'll finish with a quote from Dogen. Tenno asked, "What is the essential meaning of Buddhism?" Sekito replied, "No gaining, no knowing." "Can you say anything further?" "The expansive sky does not obstruct the floating white clouds." So, now we tend to think when you read something like this or hear a talk that they're good aggregates and they're bad aggregates. And that then now Vijnana has divided consciousness has become the bad aggregate. But that is not what this is about at all. Not what this is about at all. It's about letting go of this good and bad stuff and just being with what is. And then having some equanimity here. There's some equanimity with bringing into view what is going on and just seeing it. Natural equanimity. Not trying to meditate better. Not trying to meditate better. The more you try to meditate better, you're going to meditate worse. So, I think that's what I want to say, and I'd be glad to entertain questions or comments or whatever. Guy.
Yeah, people are listening and when you leave, you may go someplace and they'll say, "What did you hear this morning?" And some guy said, "We didn't have a cell." Right?
Uh-huh.
How silly. I'd want to bring your attention to some of the modern neuroscience literature.
Now,
there's a wonderful book called The Self Illusion by a British neuroscientist called Hood.
Called whom?
Hood. Hood.
Uh-huh.
You know, but pretty readable.
Uh-huh.
Self Illusion.
Uh-huh.
He knows nothing about Buddhism, but he reaches the same general conclusion. And he compares two views of the mind, one called the ego view, and which is the self,
mm-hmm.
and the second is the bundle view.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Think of the aggregate.
An aggregate,
and
so, yeah.
Again, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody's really interested in this, I'd recommend it. Great book.
Uh-huh.
The Self-Illusion.
I like to read it, too, if it's not too difficult. I'm going back to the early stage in my life now. I'd love to read it. Yeah. You speak loudly?
Yeah. So when you practice meditation and you get that, that release from the fabricating mind.
When you get the what?
Well, I guess what I'm thinking about is how I just said that we're all like crazy. And then you meditate and you notice that it's crazy.
Yep.
And then you are like, okay, I'm crazy. But is there a way that when you notice it, it sort of changes your life?
Well, when you're noticing it, you're crazy. There's an awareness of, that's called the fifth aggregate. There's awareness of consciousness and the spinning of consciousness. And so that awareness is cool. And then you bring yourself back to one of the first three aggregates. You bring yourself back to your immediate contact, right here, your breathing or listening to the sound. You notice the felt sense. Because there's always some kind of a feeling with your contact, and you notice your perception. So, and you may have to do this many, many, many times, because the more you meditate, the more you realize how much the crazy mind dominates your life. But every time you realize that, you just say to yourself, well, there it is, there's consciousness, and you come back to contact, or you come back to this feeling, this body. After a while, you really are bringing all the aggregates into view, and there's no you who's bringing them into view. So the craziness can still go on, but you don't get caught up in it so much or identify with it. You just say, oh, crazy Tim, you come back. Crazy Tim, come back. Crazy Tim, come back. No big deal after a while. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess I was wondering, maybe if you think that there's a tendency to kind of move into a new prison, is that when you meditate?
Yes, there's a tendency to actually be more crazy than you were before you sat down. Because, and I've talked a lot about this before, but you're just sitting facing the wall. So you have no TV, no books, no dishes to do. You just got you and your out-of-control mind. So there's a tendency, yes. But that's all part of the deal, because we're trying to see how crazy we are so we can be free from it. And when we sit facing a wall, we have no distraction. There's nothing to do but just see it and then come back to my immediate contact with it. With this. Is that helpful?
Well, that was helpful, but what I meant was maybe you're worrying about some specific thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it seems like maybe meditating would help you you're always going to be crazy, but maybe there's a way that you go into a new, you get a new prison, That issue goes away.
Yeah, and another issue comes up.
And then
another issue comes up. And then another issue comes up. Pardon?
I like new prisons. The old prisons are the worst.
Oh, that's interesting. That's kind of cool. Kind of cool. Yeah, sure. Larry?
Just kind of a question. Since the skandhas are ultimately empty, if you meditate on them, doesn't that tend to solidify them, reify them? And if so, how can we avoid that happening?
Yeah, well, so this we have to be careful of technique. And Zen is probably the best school in Buddhism of being skeptical of getting caught by technique. So when I'm talking to you about contact and felt sense today, and next week I'll be taking you through an exercise about contact. It all starts with contact. That's the immediate, no mediator. the immediate contact. We live our lives probably, I'm just making this up, about 2% of our lives is contact. And 98% is all this other stuff. And yet contact is where we get our juice, where we get our sense of interdependence, where we get our sense of love. Contact. So you're exactly right that if we turn this into a religion like contact and feeling, if I ask, am I doing this right? Yes, have I done it enough? Contact. It's just a technique. And ultimately, as you know, Dogen is very careful about saying, well, don't get involved in any technique. Just come back to this, because the five aggregates are the each species of trees. Those are just labels too. Each of those species is just a label, and you can get fixated on those and trying to make those work. But the aggregates is a teaching to broaden our awareness, so we appreciate big mind, so we appreciate the whole reality with all of its components, including contact, including perception, including craziness, including deep emotion, all that stuff. Yeah, but of course, Larry, you're absolutely right. Anything else? Oh, that's the last one.
Do you hope to extinguish the poisonous aggregates?
No.
I mean, the thoughts will continue.
No, I don't hope to do that, and I don't recommend that. Well, you can hope that if you want to, but that's the fifth aggregate, hoping. That's the fifth aggregate wanting to be... That's Tim wanting to be present at his own funeral, basically. I do want to be present. I do. I want to make sure everybody behaves at my own funeral. After all this effort I put into Zen Center, you better. Right?
Mm-hmm. So these thoughts never really go away.
No, but their power diminishes. Okay. Their power diminishes. Their power over us diminishes. And then we can dream a world and not get caught by it. We can dream a world and love it, but not be entrapped by it, because we have to make something out of it. We have to act like it's more than just a beautiful dream world. Everything is a dream world, anyway. Thanks.